It's 7:20 here on WTIC. Okay, time for our weekly visit with Chris Powell. Writes for the journal Inquirer.com, and he's here already. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Ray.
Somebody was saying, as you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is stepping down as you know, basically the spokesperson for the president, for the White House. Somebody was suggesting Alex Jones would be good. So
it's a tough job, Ray.
I think that would be just a hoot. If it only lasted a couple days, it'd still be kind of fun, don't you think?
You know, he did have a press secretary or communications director, that guy Scaramucci, who lasted.
Yes. Now, was he a press guy? He was the press guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I think he was
communications,
the communications director.
Oh, God. You know, that's the worst job in the world.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
It could attract the worst people in the world.
Well,
apparently.
I mean, Mike McCurry was a pretty decent guy, and I'm trying to think. You know, there were a couple there that were okay. D.D. Myers wasn't bad in the Clinton administration. I mean, there's some of them that are all right, but it's just you can't win. You're going to last a year at best.
Yeah. Well, back then it was kind of normal times. I mean, today everything's a cartoon.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with? I know you wrote a piece about a week ago about the UTC thing. And, you know, people are saying, well, it's just 100 people. They're just going to Boston. No big deal. I mean, Pratt and Whitney stays here. Although I noticed this morning that, in fact, I think Pratt's investing more money into Florida. So, well, there is that. But nevertheless, they're still here. Carrier silently moved out about a year ago. And I guess Otis is going to stay. But, I mean, you know, you are, you know, even with the executive headquarters, there's something about that that's an intangible, I think.
Oh yeah, it's certainly a blow, but I think we're missing the point about UTC. I wrote something yesterday. I think for tomorrow, UTC started with the Pratt and Whitney machine tool shop in Hartford 100 years ago. It was just a metal shop, and they went into making aircraft engines, and then they merged with the predecessor to Boeing that started manufacturing airplanes as well as their engines, and then antitrust law broke them up, but they expanded anyway into other fields, and they became a major conglomerate and government contractor over the decades. They had a lot of business with the government, a lot of military business.
Right.
And when you get that big and you have that much government business, you have got to diversified geographically to build political support nationally to deal more successfully with the federal government. Pratt & Whitney and then United Aircraft and UTC has been diversifying out of Connecticut for at least 50 years.
You have to do it.
Their employment now, big as it is a fraction of what it was 50 years ago. This is just the political necessity for conglomerates and military business in the United States. No big company with a lot of government business or a lot of being subject to government regulation is going to stick to one state. They're going to diversify throughout the country to build political support. And you can't blame Lamont for this. You can't blame past administrations for this. I mean, there's very little the state of Connecticut could do to prevent this growth pattern for a big business. And no state, not even Texas, is big enough to contain business this big.
Okay. Well, I do remember when Sikorsky was trying to build Marine One, you know, the president helicopter. And, you know, they had – but what you noticed was who was their competitor? I can't remember who got the contract temporarily, I think.
Yeah.
But what they did is they had some parts coming from command, so that covers Connecticut. Then they had a bunch from Georgia. Then they had a bunch from Texas. And so what you're doing is just exactly what you said. They're building up political support.
Yeah, if you're this big and you're a military contractor, I mean, this is the way things, you know, work. But we could have noticed this in Connecticut 40 years ago. They were moving work out of state. They were not growing in the state. They were growing out of state and even in other countries. Why? Because politics requires it. There's nothing, very little anyway, that the state could do.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly. Hey, and speaking of which, let's go to Bob Stefanowski, because I've noticed that he's still around. He shows up on, I think, Todd's show in the afternoon once in a while, and he also shows up with Will midday. But also, Stemmerman's around there, too. So what are you doing, governments in exile, or what are we doing here?
Well, Stefanowski particularly seems intent on staying visible and making criticisms. I was encouraged that last night, anyway, he had a really magnificent essay in the Wall Street Journal in which he got very specific about things that are wrong with state policy. And, of course, right. That was not his strong suit during his campaign.
No.
In his essay in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, maybe in today's paper, I read on the Internet last night, he's gotten specific. He took some cracks at some of the special interests that that run the state, and I was thinking, well, you know, this is the kind of stuff the Republican Party has got to be saying to the public to give the public
right.
alternatives. If he had campaigned like that, like his essay in the Wall Street Journal,
right.
Maybe things would have been a little bit different. But he is going around the state. He's being pretty candid about the deficiencies of his
right.
his campaign. So
he learns.
You know, maybe there's some hope for the future.
All right. Well, it's always great, Chris. We'll talk to you next week. Journalinquirer.com. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Ray.
Talk to you, buddy. It's 726.